Good evening. The time is now 5:04. The Warwick Finance Committee is beginning. I'm going to make a motion for acceptance on the March 7th minutes of 2022. I move favorable action.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. We are now on to PCR 34-21 from the bid package. Item number one, bid number one is 2022-284, water tank rehabilitation. I see Director DiPietrillo standing up. Good evening.
Good evening. We went out to bid to rehabilitate both of our Bolt Hill tanks. One tank is 5.5 million gallons. One tank is 6.5 million gallons. We had those tanks inspected last year in 2020. The report came back not so good. The recommendation by the engineers was to tear down those two tanks, replace them with two brand new ones, with the cost anywhere from $10 to $50 million. My staff came up with the idea, let's do some footwork and let's contact the original builder of the tanks, DN Tanks out of Hopkinton, Mass. Not knowing how those tanks were constructed back in 1969, roughly, they did their engineering work and came up with a solution. The tanks did not have to be taken down, but they could be rehabilitated. So we went out to bid. We had a mandatory pre-bid meeting. Only two companies showed up. Out of that pre-constructed bid meeting, we only had one bid. And that bid came out at $2,318,200. Their proposal, which is going to be warranted for 5 years, and it's going to get us 20 years more life out of these tanks. Interior repair work, along with a 16th of an inch poly coating, exterior work, new vents, manway hatches for future inspections, exterior work, repairing it, you know, sometimes it's part of the cement's flaking off. From that $2,318,200, Kent County Water shares 27% of the cost, because they use those tanks for their system as well. So that brings us down to roughly about $1.7 million for the cost of the city of Warwick. In light of not replacing the tanks, spending this $1.7 million to not have to replace those, it's going to be beneficial to the city. And these tanks, they act as a reservoir. So it's gravity fed from the Scituate Reservoir. And the 11 million gallons store the water, but it also supplies pressure to our gravity system. We're very unique. We only have one pump in our system, which is in Warwick Neck. So these tanks are very important to us for pressure. DN Tanks out of Hopkinton, Mass, the original... They originally constructed it. They've done a lot of work throughout the country. They don't work for us in the past. We had a problem in 2014 with the floor cracking, and it was leaking. The city opted, for some reason, I don't know why, to take the shortcut and not do this back then. And here we are again faced with it today. So our proposal is to let's get this done right the first time and not have to revisit this again.
Thank you. You said at the beginning of the dissertation, I didn't quite understand the sentence. You said you used a 5-year analogy to the 20-year analogy. Could you repeat that for me?
Yeah, absolutely, Councilman. The work going to be performed by DN Tanks is going to be guaranteed for the work they're doing now for 5 years.
Okay.
But the life expectancy of the work they're going to do is going to be 20 more years.
Okay. And a new tank, what's the life expectancy of a new tank, saying that these are already 50 years old?
Yeah, so a new tank, if it's a steel tank, 30, 40 years, 60 years, not really sure,
And the cost would have been $10 to $15 million.
$10 to $15 million. They're correct.
To 20 years. Thank you. Questions from the committee?
I have a couple.
Councilman Gebhardt.
Thank you. thanks, Director. A couple questions. I might jump around here a little bit, but you mentioned Kent County is going to 27% share of the expense here. How do we actually realize their share?
Well, we have an agreement, Councilman, dating back to the 60s for a 27% share cost from that transmission line, which comes out of so you have the aqueduct that comes out of Providence. It travels through Cranston. We have a 42-inch line that's tapped off of that coming down East Avenue. So Kent County actually buys water off of us. It's called the wheeling of water. So it's in their best interest. You know, it's part of the infrastructure, their infrastructure also.
Got it. And so the repayment, so I see that this is for 2.318 million, mm-hmm. Of which 27% is their share.
Correct. So what we'll do, this is my first time at this, you know, we'll pick up the tab, and I've been in contact with Kent County through this whole process, with the bidding process and our proposal. And then, you know, we'll go to them and, you know, when the project's complete, then, you know, we'll recoup our 27%.
Okay. So there'll be some sort of transfer. I guess I'm just interested. I can follow up after, just interested in the mechanism for how those funds come back in. Is there any risk during this process of rehabilitating the towers that there be any damage or something that would?
No, come to find out, the way they constructed is actually pretty simple. When we had the original inspection report, they said there was some rebar corrosion. Well, come to find out, there's no rebar inside that. It's pretty much a slab set in place on a pad, and it's wrapped kind of like a whiskey barrel, every inch of pot, and it just kind of so it's very easily constructed. So no.
Okay. And then I know, you know, just from past comments that have been made or, you know, articles and whatnot, that there's, you know, a lot of high priority issues, you know, around our water infrastructure. So how much of sort of our high priority punch list does this address for you, and how much is still remaining?
So right now we have in our budget this year, we actually compiled to fiscal year 25, a plan to address every need that the water department is facing. We have a budget plan, capital plan, but I would say this is number one or two on a priority list right now. The other one being the transmission line that runs out of the highway, which is in design right now. So with this project with the tanks and that transmission line, we're in the design phase with the transmission line and ready to award this contract. Those are the two major issues facing us right now.
Okay, great. Sounds like good progress, so that's excellent. And then, so if we were to approve this tonight, when does this work commence, and how long will it take?
It will commence this spring, and it's going to be wrapped up by November.
Okay. All right, great. That's all I have, so thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Questions or comments from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, Terry.
Councilman.
Terry, you made a couple of points that I thought were interesting. But one of the questions I have is, what is the schedule for inspections on these tanks? Is it once a year, once every 5 years, never?
Yeah, it's a great question, Councilman. We're governed by the Department of Health in the EPA. So we have to do an internal inspection every 5 years, which the council approved last year when we went ahead with that inspection. Externally, every year. But internally, every 5 years.
And during these inspections, I'm not referring to punch list items. You know, I'm talking about anything significant. Was there anything significant noted in any of these inspections? Cracks, pinholes, wear, whatever?
Yeah, absolutely. So with the, when the inspection came back, it was Tank Industries Consultants that did the tank inspection. And what they do is they go in there with the rover. And the rover also has a vacuum on it. So you'll develop a little bit of settlement over the years. So they vacuum out the settlement, sediment, pump it out, and also take a video of what they're covering. We notice deficiencies, cracking in the walls, cracking on the floor. But part of this bid is to repair the damage that's done. And the biggest thing is the poly coating that they're going to apply on the inside and the concrete. So you're actually going to have a barrier between the water and the cement going forward.
So a very important part of what they're doing is to continue to protect the quality of the water that we're all getting.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if it's ever occurred, but I don't think any one of us want to sit here and experience a tank failure with 11 million gallons of water in it.
That'd be catastrophic.
Terry, you said that this 27% cost share from Kent County Water Authority dates back to the 60s. Has the percentage of their participation changed at all in the last 60 years?
Not that I'm aware of, Councilman. The last time we believe we had some repairs to the tank was 2014, in which they contributed 27% at that time also. But as far as I don't believe that's changed at all.
And how much water does Kent County Water Authority purchase from us today versus what they purchased from us in the 60s? That's a question that just came up because you brought up the point. See, this is what happens. You guys come to the mic, start getting my brain working, and here we are.
Councilman, I can gladly get you those numbers tomorrow morning. But I will tell you it's not as much as it was in the past. Kent County relies on wells as long as buying water off of us. But in all, the whole city doesn't use the water we used to because of high efficiency toilets, dishwashers, washing machines. So that number is down from the 60s.
But they have toilets and dishwashers and washing machines in Kent County.
Right, but they're not using as much water as we used to.
Uh-huh. We're not, or they're not?
All of us. All of us. Kent County, including ourselves. And people are a little more aware of how much water they use because a good majority of the city is sewered now. So your water bill reflects on your sewer usage also.
Well, part of the reason we're not using as much water is because we've gone from 88,000 people to 83,000. So, that would have, some impact on that. So who goes about negotiating with Kent County Water Authority for their contribution towards the repairs of these tanks?
Well, Kent County is actually, we've talked about it. They actually, with their attorney, they want to revisit this agreement. We turned it over to our solicitor, to deal with their attorney. That was maybe 8 months ago, and I don't know where it is at this point.
I think it'd be interesting, to find out about, because I would like to know if there's any intent on their part or our part to have them increase that percentage that they do.
Well, I believe on their
just
part.
Just curious.
On their part, I think they want to.
It's what, please?
On Kent County's part, they want to lower the percentage.
Sure. So, of course they would. Mm-hmm. So, well, that will remain to be seen. Are we under any obligation to sell water?
Yes.
That was a wise guy question. Okay. Thank you, Chairman. I'm good.
Thank Thank you, Councilman. Any other comments or questions from members of the council? Comments or questions concerning bid 2022-284 from members of the public? Please state your name, please, in the microphone.
My name is Rick Casella. I live in Ward 1. Terry, you said that the Kent County Water Authority will contribute 27% of the total cost of this renovation and that they would pay us when we're finished. Do you have a mechanism that would certify that they have the availability of funds to make that payment promptly, or are we going to have to rely on their promise?
No, Rick. We've had many discussions from the start of the
project. So there'll be something in writing before we start that they're on the hook?
Yeah.
Do we bill them, or do they bill?
No, we'll bill them. Okay. And this is more a question for finance. You know, that's not my forte. But from the very start, right up until we commence work, you know, we're working together.
The availability of funds will be
there. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of the public concerning this bid? Thank you.
All set.
Thank you so much. Perfect. Thank you. Bid item number two is bid 2022-285, Warwick Police Department Renovation Analysis. Major Lima, welcome.
Good evening. Major Mike Lima, Warwick Police Department. The police department advertised a request for qualifications for an anticipated renovation of the police department that is much needed. The police department was built in 1974 with very few updates to the building since that time. There are many design flaws in the building construction that underutilizes the space and also compromises both officer and civilian safety and security. Additionally, there are numerous electrical, HVAC, plumbing, and roofing concerns within the building that need to be addressed. Outside security and safety and parking issues are other areas that need to be looked at for improvement. The police department conducted a needs assessment on our own to try and narrow down the scope of work to be looked at. Based on this, the following items were included in the facility needs assessment that were given to prospective firms: a thorough evaluation of locker room deficiencies, office space constraints, and evaluation of use of space in the main and upstairs lobbies and community room, a thorough evaluation of the deficiencies throughout the building and grounds. Evaluation should include bringing the current facility up to public safety standards. Evaluation and recommendation for securing the front entranceway and creating a more secure checkpoint upon entry. Approximate replacement costs and or renovation costs to include costs to repair and or replace all deficiencies. Produce scaled plans and specifications sufficient for construction bidding to enable the city to budget and schedule the improvements. And also, the architect is encouraged to provide alternative designs based on extensive experience with public safety complexes. The bid proposal contained a score sheet in which submissions would be evaluated on based on the following criteria. 1, experience of firm on similar projects, public safety buildings preferred. 2, years of experience of personnel. 3, recent similar projects. And 4, schedule, meaning how quickly can the firm produce. The police department received 5 bids, which were all independently reviewed by the command staff. After our scores were tabulated, based on the score sheet, we averaged our scores together and came up with a final list of firms that we put in order. One firm did not have the qualifications we were looking for, specifically public safety experience, and they were not considered. The following 4 firms, listed in order of ranking, highest to lowest, were deemed by the review committee to be the most highly qualified firms: Castle Booz Associates, Tecton Architects, Sicoccio and Associates, and Rouse Architects. In accordance with both the federal and state law, the department is requesting permission to negotiate a fair and reasonable price with the highest qualified firm. Throughout the negotiation of price, the city will receive the best possible price for the completion of the scope of work at the police department. The department requests this RFQ 2022-285 be awarded with a spending authority of up to $60,000. If approved, funding of these expenses would be allocated from budget code 440-0416.
Thank you, Major. Questions from the committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Sure. So thanks, Major, for the thorough explanation here. So was this work that you all had on your list that you were sort of working towards, or is this responsive to some of the things that have occurred recently, or what's the context here?
Both. The building's just about 50 years old. It has not had any major improvements for about 20 years. The last major improvement we had was our dispatch center, which really had no bearing on the rest of the police department. I'm sure you guys have all been to the police department. There's the front entranceway. It's wide open. It's not secure. It has access to many other different parts of the police department. We had an incident a couple months ago there. That kind of accelerated this process a little bit, but we had been looking at this when the colonel came back to the police department as one of a priority to get done. Realistically, this probably should have been done a while ago, but now we're here at this point that we're trying to get it done.
And are you thinking about this like, you know, this is sort of the first step that we do this year, get some plan, you know, some sort of plan back, and then start to think about what costs would be and what the scope would actually be? And this is a next budget year cycle or further out than that? Or is this something that you're trying to accelerate faster than that?
Well, that's what this will do. That'll get a firm in to kind of go over the police department, figure out kind of what we're looking for, what those improvements could cost, and then what's actually feasible to do.
Yeah.
We don't want to get to the point where the building might need to be completely replaced if we keep waiting, you know, 10, 20, 30 more years. So we're trying to be a little proactive right now, do improvements to it. We're expanding, we're growing as an organization. You know, this was built again 50 years ago. So the same office space that they had then is different now. In different areas of that building, again, are wide open that could be utilized for office space and different needs.
Okay. It's good for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Major.
Good evening.
Can you just for the record, can you just explain the difference? This is a little different bid than normal. The RFQ portion of this, just explain, because it's a little different than the normal way that we go through this. If you could just explain that process for the record.
Correct. So we put this out advertising for qualified firms to submit, you know, their intentions of possibly working with us. They provided packages on their expertise. We had a scoring criteria, which basically covered those topics that I talked about, basically experience of firm, the years of experience, recent similar projects and schedule, and those are all weighted. And then once we came up with our scores, we came up with a list. Now, once we have that list in place, we have to start with the number one person on our list. We go to that firm and we try to negotiate a price to get this work done. If it's something that's acceptable to the city and to the firm, it's agreed upon, and then that firm can start with the process. If it's not, we move on to number two, and then number three, and number four.
Thank you, Major. I just wanted that to point out, because it is a little different than the
correct
normal,
yep,
presentation. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any other questions from the committee? Questions from members of the council. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, Major.
Good evening.
Major, so as I understand it, what you're going to be looking for from these four prospective companies is to do an evaluation of the building from the foundation to the roof, including structural, mechanical, electrical, leaks, et cetera. They will put together a plan, or whoever receives the nod to proceed is going to implement a plan to do all these repairs. So that'll be in addition to the $60,000?
Correct. The 60,000 is just to get that plan in place. Okay. And it also includes the outside of the facility as well, not just the inside.
And then whatever the number, we can pick any, you know, arbitrary number. Here's what needs to be done. Here's what the cost is. So, or here's what needs to be done. Will a bid be happening to get that work performed?
Correct. That's a whole nother process.
That's going to be a separate process, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. This is what you're doing is it's overdue. I mean, we don't forget it. Go back to 1976. It's overdue. I've been into the station. Let me add as a visitor exclusively. And having said that, the chief has pointed out to me some areas of problems with leaks, and it's just been ongoing and been very, very difficult to pinpoint what those problems are. So, yeah, you absolutely need to get some people in the know to be able to address those. And you need to get these things done. We can't afford to build a whole new police station. We can't afford to build a lot of things. But what we do need to do is to prevent what you said, you know, the ultimate demise of this building. So I think it's good forward thinking, and I support this. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council? Members of the public, are there any members of the public that would like to speak on bid 2022-285? Members of the public. Thank you. We are now at the part of the bid package where I will call on members of the committee, members of the council, and then members of the public, if they would like to discuss an item from the bid package. So I will begin first with members of the committee. Councilman Gebhardt. Certainly. Thank you, Councilman. Is there any item or any bid that members of the council would like to discuss? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. I would like to discuss item 2022-368, Crisis Negotiator Conference, found on page 51.
Thank you, Councilman.
Sir.
Is that all? I apologize.
That's it. It's an easy night tonight for you guys.
Any other members of the council? Is there any items that members of the public would like to discuss from the bid package? Any items members of the public would like to discuss from the bid package? Thank you. So we'll begin with bid number 2022-368, found on page 51 for a crisis negotiator conference with a bid of $4,289.64. And Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Major, it's not a, I don't have an issue with what you want to do. It's more of a question. So you have the cost of the conference itself, the center, miscellaneous, per diem. If, when all the receipts come in for the hotel cost, the per diem cost, the miscellaneous cost, if they do not exceed these numbers, then this amount that we approved is more like an up to $4,289. Is that correct?
The numbers that we have listed here are basically finalized. So the lodging has already been set. The conference obviously has been set, and the per diems are contractual.
Okay, then I guess where I'm confused is, what's the difference between, so per diem is, tell me what is miscellaneous for and what is per diem for?
Because the way our contract was written, we only authorized $15 a day for food, which was great probably 40 years ago. But that just doesn't cut it anymore. So there
doesn't even buy breakfast anymore.
Right. So there is a provision in there that allows for an extra $15, which still $30 a day for food still is probably not enough, but that's why it's raised. So the way it has to be split up is the per diem is the original 15 per day per person, and then the miscellaneous is the other 15.
That makes sense. I'm fine with that. Thank you. Good luck to him for that too.
Thank you, Councilman. Members of the committee, any discussion, comments, question? Members of the council, members of the public pertaining to bid 2022-368, members of the public. Thank you. That concludes the Finance Committee consent calendar. If I may have a motion.
I move favorable action.
Thank you. I have a move for favorable. I have a second. I will second that. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We now move on to the committee agenda. If I may have a motion for acceptance of the minutes for March 7th.
Move favorable action.
I will second that. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. PCR 28-22, formerly bid 2022-336, Repairs to Rescue 2. This was held 2 weeks ago. I've been in contact with the fire department. However, I'll let Chief go ahead and we'll begin the discussion. Go ahead.
So this was a request, 566 request to task a Ford to pay an invoice with insurance proceeds for damage that occurred to our Rescue 2. We did get as much backup documentation as we could get from TASCA and from the trust, and we forwarded that off to the committee.
Thank you, and so I'll go from there. So this was a situation where Rescue 2 needed the repairs due to a claim. It was then passed on to the trust. The trust and TASCA agreed to a cost to remake the repairs. The trust then cut the check to the city of Warwick to pay TASCA for a deal that was made between them two.
Correct.
So to fill in the council and the committee and the public, I then spoke to, kind of did some research to find out if it's a normal happening where the trust and another, like two outside entities would make an agreement, but then send it to the city to act as a middle person to make a payment on it. And it doesn't seem to be consistent, but it happens. So upon speaking to and finding out more, it seems like that's something that shouldn't be happening anymore. And I kind of made the request that that shouldn't happen. If an insurance entity is going to make an agreement with a repair shop, then they usually pay the repair shop directly. It's not cut to the city to then pay the repair shop.
Yeah, I don't think it's as much as an agreement between them. I believe you go to the repair shop,
mm-hmm.
You give them the estimate of what the trust and the group that did the estimate for the trust had approved.
Right.
And then TASCA agrees to be able to do that repair within that allotted amount of money. I think it's an agreement with the it's TASCA agreeing with the estimate from the trust, not the trust and TASCA coming up to an agreement of the labor rate.
Thank you. Good. That's what I wanted to explain. So the check was already cut from the trust to the city.
Correct.
It is currently sitting in the account.
Yes.
TASCA is just waiting for us to make the payment.
That's correct.
Okay. Questions from the committee? Questions from the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I appreciate, you know, the explanation. I'm still not satisfied with what's taking place here. And no reflection on the fire department, no reflection on our administration. It's mind-boggling to me that TASCA will not provide a document to this city council stating what the hours were put into that repair and what the hourly amount is for that repair. I understand the trust is paying for it. I also understand the taxpayers are paying the trust.
Taxpayers pay the insurance. The trust doesn't work for us for free. In the years that I've been in this industry, my industry, I've had numerous occasions, unfortunately, where I've had to have vehicles repaired. We've go in for insurance work. I'm not paying for it. The insurance company's paying for it. But as the taxpayer, or like the taxpayer, I'm paying for the insurance premium. So it's costing me. And the more that insurance cost or that repair is that it costs me, the more it impacts my rates come renewal. It's troubling to me that Tasker or the insurance company, the trust in this case, will not present to us that information. When I get an insurance estimate from a body shop to fix one of my vehicles, every single thing is listed. Every single thing. The hours put in to repair the fender, the hours to put in a headlight, the hours to do this, et cetera, et cetera. The dollar amounts, shop charges, disposal fees, any little nut, washer, bolt. It's all in there. The same holds true when I'm dealing with an insurance company on behalf of one of my clients. The insurance company demands everything all broken down. And by the same token, they provide that breakdown to the homeowner, because the homeowner is paying for the insurance. So it's upsetting to me that we're not being provided that information. And I think the process is flawed. We have spoken to it. There will be, apparently in discussion, there will be attempts to change it. But the process is clearly flawed in this case. I am not going to be supporting this payment, not because I have an issue with the fire department or I have an issue with this city council or the administration. I have an issue with voting for something that I don't know what the hell it is and how did we get there. So I'm not going to be able to support it for those reasons. And I'm glad to hear that there's conversation, at least in the process or in the beginning, of changing this process. Because this councilman wants to know, what am I paying for and how much am I getting for that? Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council? Members of the public pertaining to PCR 28-22, Repairs to Rescue 2. Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you. I make a motion for favorable action.
I'll second that.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item number 3, PCR 32-22, a resolution requesting the finance director provide the city council report on the city's. This is sponsored by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Ricks. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. So this isn't the first time that I go down this path with looking for this type of information. We all know that we have a major issue coming up. One of the major issues coming up is the schools and whether or not we want to recommend favorable action on a $350 million bond for schools, which very easily could rise much higher than that. I don't see how we can vote on such an issue unless we have all of the numbers. And this request has been made not, I'm referring to previous administrations, and those numbers weren't forthcoming to the degree that I need to see. The numbers that I'm looking for is, let's call it an Excel spreadsheet. It's a number that's going to take into consideration everything. What the tax rate will look like if a $350,000 bond is approved,
What it'll look like if it's not approved? What will the tax rate look like if we are reimbursed 52% of the 350 versus 43% that was talked to at one of our previous meetings? I think that it's important for us to have all of these numbers. The numbers that speak to lease purchases dropped off, added on. We have the police department contract that was recently negotiated. That was, I believe, a 3.3% increase over 3 years. We have the municipal contract that was approved at 2.75. We have the school department contract that was approved at 3.3 in the first year, wasn't even funded. We have the fire department contract coming up, I believe, in June. And we don't know at this point in time where that's going to be. We have a huge deficit in the OPEB accounts. As of 2020, I think it was some $383 million worth of deficit. We have new vehicles that we need. We need the sanitation vehicles. We need the fire trucks, the rescues, the police cars, et cetera, et cetera. We have the police department who is in dire need of repairs to that building. We need to see where we are going to be next year and the year after and the year after. We need to see, as we do in the private sector, we need to understand what is our spending and what is our revenue. And in the interest of the city, the taxpayers need to have a reasonable forecast of where they're going to be in this equation, because of course the taxpayers play a huge part in this equation. We need to see what all of our expenses are going to be, what the assumptions are, what the add-ons are. We need to see this, and we need to see it in very easy terms. The school department under the previous administration was famous for coming to us with a gazillion numbers. They'd put it up on that screen, and unless you had a magnifying glass the size of this desk, you couldn't see it. You wouldn't be able to track it anyways if you could see it, because numbers are just all over the place. If we have that type of analysis, that type of a spreadsheet, and it were maintained, it's very, very simple to, as an example, inflation was talked about some 2.73%. Now all of a sudden we have this problem that we're dealing with 8%. So you change the column. You change it from 2.7% to 8%, and this is your result. Very, very easy to do. I have a document that I use for pricing one of our services, and I can price it down to the nail. And it's very easy to just change numbers. You take out a number, you put in a number. But we're always knowing what it is. And for the 10 years, going on 10 years that I've been sitting on this city council, I have not seen a document that is as detailed as that. We see what's presented to us, but it doesn't include a lot of these assumptions. It doesn't include what is the anticipated cost increase of health care. It doesn't include what we would anticipate
for salary increases over the next 4 or 5 or 6 years. So it's like, okay, let's react from year to year. That doesn't make sense to me. This is more important now than ever, because what is up in the air right now is these schools. Do we build two new schools? Don't we build two new schools? Do we really think we're going to do this for $350 million? I don't think so. So we need to know all of these costs put in place in an Excel spreadsheet type of document. More importantly is the taxpayers need to know, because to send something to the ballot and ask the taxpayers to vote up or down on such a significant number, a number, by the way, that we can't pay for implementing the maximum tax increase that we're allowed to do by law, not even considering the other obligations that we have, to ask them to vote on that without the numbers of today, next year, the year after, the year after, and the year after. This doesn't have to be limited to 5 years. This is something that can be done on an ongoing basis. But to ask them to vote for something that's going to have such a, or could have such a significant financial impact without them knowing that, let me kind of bring this full circle. All our expenses, all our revenue, we have X dollars and cents. If we, the taxpayers, if we approve this bond for X millions of dollars, this is exactly what we can expect it to cost us in our taxes. And unless we have that type of a detailed financial analysis, including a fiscal projection out for the next 5 years, I don't see how we can do that. And you've heard it many times, but I'm going to repeat it again. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And if you don't know the assumptions, projections, and anticipated costs, and you don't have an opportunity to see it in real time in live numbers, I don't know how you can plan. So this is why I've put this forward, to request this type of report to be presented to us, as well as the people who are paying the bills, and also so that we can sit here and, if we're going to send this to the ballot for the schools to be voted on, that we're doing it knowing that we have done our best to get all those numbers out there in real time that we can. Having said that, Mr. Chairman, those are my reasonings for doing it. I will say, in the past, under the previous administrations, those forecasts, the detail of analysis that I'm looking for, I didn't receive. That's why I'm doing this today, to make this request so that we can get on the same page with all the numbers and be able to present that to the taxpayers. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I support this. I think it's important that we have as much information available as possible. I also support that we are asking the finance department to look into this. We have the top finance department in the state. We have a finance director that other cities and town finance directors go to on a daily basis asking for his advice. So this is the right path to get this information for. So I am in favor of this. I also want to point out that this administration and this city council has been putting our finances out there like no other before. We have already had three budget updates on this cycle going forward, that the finance director comes before the city council and gives a snapshot 3 months, 6 months, 9 months in, showing the books, showing where we are. Whereas previously, at least for my first two terms on the council, you know, we would talk about the budget at the budget hearings, and then we would be individual meetings, individual purchases at each council meeting. So this administration and this finance department has been providing this information. The only caveat I will throw out there is on the five-year plan, the longer you go out, the more assumptions we're going to have to make. So, for example, union contracts are 3 years. So you're talking about getting assumptions for contracts, two different contracts. So again, 3 years might give you a more concrete numbers to look at. The farther you go out, the more assumptions we are going to have to make. That's a different council in 5 years, different mayor, different bills, different bond requests. Again, so I just wanted to put that out there. I support this in general. I do think the finance department has given us a lot of this information already. We saw the projections on the school. Best case scenario, $13 million tax increase. Worst case scenario, almost $20 million. So there are some numbers over there. I know the councilman is looking for other things put in there as well to give us a full a picture, and I do support that. So I'm not here to put any motions or anything like that. I just want to put that food for thought. The farther years we go out, the more assumptions we have to include. So those are my comments at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, may I comment?